heading home from work. So today was not the best day for me, but I tried to push through anyway. It wasn't the best day. Situations with my coworkers arise and things like that, and it was just a crappy day, so I didn't deal with everything as I should have dealt with it, but I don't know. It wasn't the best day ever. I don't even want to get into it only because it's going to make me mad again, and I'm trying to just move past it. But it was a rough day. My morning started off bad, and then it just progressed from there. It's like the morning went bad. Everything just started going bad. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, to getting my stuff at home, to getting to work, it's getting worse, and then me trying to just get myself together. So it was just a rough day. But no matter what, I'm going to keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to be positive. I'm going to try to be positive. I really am. I'm going to keep pushing and keep trying. Even when it's tough, my ass is going to keep trying. So, I don't know. I kind of wanted to get my nails done today, but then like I was like, you know what? I get paid tomorrow. I think I'm going to wait. I'll probably go Thursday. Because I was going to go Wednesday tomorrow. I'm like, well, Thursday is only a half day of my job. So I'll probably go get my nails done. I want to get my nails done so badly, but I just don't know what I want to get done. Like, I'm like, what? How do I want my nails done? Then I'm trying to find a new nail shop. Because I'm like, I want to go to a new nail shop that's not even near my house. Like, it's a whole bunch of nail shops where I live, but I don't want to go to any of them. I'm trying to go somewhere different. And I just was like, oh, I missed the place in the mall because they got closed down. But I'm like, I need to find me a new nail place to go get my nails done. So, wish me luck on that journey. But I'm definitely going to keep looking and try to find me something. So, let's pray that I find something within the next couple of days. I got to find me something, a place to get my nails done. Gotta make it work. So that's what I'm gonna be doing the next couple of days, trying to find me a good nail shop. So wish me luck with that. But moving on, I know today's topic, I want to talk about addiction, because I feel like that topic is near and dear to my heart, because I work in pain management and I deal with pain patients and addicts and all kinds of people. And so addiction is something that affects a lot of people. You know, addiction affects everyday people. You can look at someone and walk down the street, and they might be a drug addict, but you would never know because they might look clean or they might look neat. They could be that office man you see every day that wears a suit every day, but he could be an alcoholic. He could be a drug addict. We'll never know because we look at the outside. So I think in the society, we always look at the outside of somebody's appearance. But appearance is not everything, because you got to search deeper. I've watched so many shows of intervention, and it's been crazy on intervention. And some of the people look deep, like decent people, everyday people. And then you start to watch the show, when you start to see them doing drugs and shooting up heroin and heroin and doing crack and marijuana, just all kinds of drugs you wouldn't expect them to do. Because you look at them like, they look like clean-cut business person, but they're doing drugs. And they're trying to hide it from the world and things like that. Addiction is hard because I feel like looking at my patients and seeing how a lot of them are addicted to alcohol or addicted to drugs or addicted to the pain medications and how it affects them so bad. You know, it's one of those type of situations where you really have to wonder, you know, what goes through these patients' minds when they're dealing with these type of things. And you just have to wonder, you know, how addiction affects the people around them. Because we think when you see a drug addict, it affects them, but it does affect people around them as well. It affects the mother, the father, the kids, the husband, the wife. You know, you have to remember that. Not only are they killing themselves, but the people around them are being killed too. And then you see a lot of codependency. Sometimes the addict, you tend to see a lot of codependency. From like I said, on intervention, you'll see how the mom is so... It's so codependent on the child. The child wants drugs, they give them money. So they kind of feed their addiction because they don't, at the same time, they want to stop. But the same token, they don't want to lose, so they do whatever they can to keep their child close by them. Then you'll see so many people, like, you know, people who used to be so successful. Like, I saw this one episode where the lady was a millionaire and all this money, and all of a sudden she becomes a drug addict. From on the outside, you would never thought she was a drug addict. But then you saw all the scenes of her shooting up and doing drugs, and you're like, oh my God, you know, it's the same lady you see walking down the street. But it does affect people, because you have to understand that you don't want your family to die. You don't want anything bad to happen to them. But sometimes we can't always save or help everybody that we want to help. And there's so many places you can go to get help. You can go to a rehab and all those things. But the problem with addiction is, whether you're addicted to alcohol or whatever you're addicted to, or your drug of choice, including an eating disorder can be your addiction as well, and you go to rehab because you need help with that. But the point is, we try to get our family and friends into addiction places. We go, oh, you need to go to rehab, get the help you need. A lot of them don't cave, because a lot of them aren't ready to leave. Some people have to hit rock bottom in order for them to say, hey, I want to get help. A lot of times I've seen, like I said, different TV shows, and they're like, oh, they get into the intervention room, or even I've seen Dr. Phil, and they, you see Judge Mathis, and he'll say, do you want the help? And sometimes they'll take it, sometimes they'll take it, and then you see on the end of the screen, Jonathan did not go to treatment. Sometimes you'll see people on the Steve Rooker show, Jonathan did not take treatment. Or you will see where, like, Dr. Phil will say, oh, this person chose to get help, then a couple months later, he does a segment of an update, Jonathan did not get help. So sometimes I think you just have to be ready to get the help and willing. Because sometimes I think a lot of people go on these shows, or in general, just go to get help, but they're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it because their mom or dad is pushing them, or their wife or daughter or whoever, or son, saying, you need to go get help. So they go do it, but they're not doing it for the right reason. They need to do it. But if you're getting help from your addict, you need to get help because you know you need it. Not for no one else around you, but for your sanity and for your well-being. Because if you do it for other people, you're going to fall right back into that same trap of addiction. And it's not going to end. And a lot of times, addiction can be spiraled down. So you might be an addict, and then it might lead down to your son Johnny being an alcoholic, and, or John's daughter being an alcoholic, because it just goes down the line. You know, it goes to inheritance. You know, and it's sad. But, you know, you want to save that family member's life, but sometimes you always can't. And you might be the person I'm talking to. You might be the drug addict. You be the one who needs help, but you maybe need somebody to say, hey, I'm going to help you today, Johnny. I'm going to make sure you get better, Johnny. Come here, Johnny. Come here. You know, it takes a lot out of us, but we have to try to help the people around us. Because if we don't help them, they are not going to get the help they need. And sometimes it can't be the people that, some people, when they see an ad, they pick at them. You need to get help, Johnny. You need to get help. You don't get help. You're stupid. You're dumb. You didn't even finish conference. You are an addict. That kind of talk only makes the addict worse. It doesn't make them want to get help. It makes them want to keep. So when you're trying to talk to someone who's an addict, you've got to learn to have a different approach. This is, like I said, me working in pain management and seeing so many addicts that I work with on every daily basis. And I see how my doctor talks to them. He doesn't talk at them and go, you're an addict. You overtook your pills, and, but you need help. He talks to them in a kind, soft way, in a way that they both understand. So don't think I'm just talking to you guys out of my ass, like I don't know what I'm talking about, like I'm talking like I'm a psychologist or something, because I actually do work with pain patients every day. A lot of my pain patients are alcoholics. A lot of them are, like I said, drug addicts. They have all kinds of addictions. So I see it every day. We had a patient one time that actually almost overdosed. She almost overdosed. We had to send her to a treatment. She tried to kill herself. So she overdosed on all this medication, pretty much almost died. And my doctor was like, he sent her to get some kind of counseling and get help. And you see stuff like that every day. Or I hear stories where my patients have passed away because stuff has just happened to them and their body has just shut down. Things like that happen. But like I said, if you want someone to get help, you got to talk to them in a nice way. You don't want to talk at them. Talk to them as a human being. You know, let them know that you care for them and that you're doing this for their best interest. Make them feel good. And if you can't do that, then I don't know, you know, how you expect that person to want to get help. But like I said, it really starts with that person. Because you can tell somebody a million times a day you're an addict, you need help. You need help, Johnny. You need help, Johnny. You see all the stuff Johnny does. But if Johnny doesn't think he's an addict, he might just say, I'm not an addict. I just do drugs occasionally. But yet Johnny's doing a drug every day. You see it. Everyone sees it, but Johnny doesn't see it. So Johnny may not get the help. And sometimes, like I said, you wait too late. And that person waits too late until it's all over. And I think that's sad. It really, really is. You know, you have to want to love yourself enough to get the help. You know, it's so crazy, the stuff that I see online and stuff that I see and the lives that get taken because you want to overdose on drugs or do something stupid. And the stories that I read online about people overdosing on drugs, people doing things, and Or even, like I said, even going back to the eating disorder. Someone with an eating disorder, you could tell that person they need to get help because they have an addiction. They choose to say, I don't have an eating problem. I saw an episode of Dr. Phil where the girl had an eating disorder. She was starving herself. And her parents came to Dr. Phil for help. And she kept saying, I don't have a problem. I don't need help. I starve myself. I'm dieting. But I'm just doing a little diet. I don't need help. I'm fine. I think her name was Maddie. She was tall, blonde hair, really pretty. And she was like, I don't need help. I don't need help. I don't need help. But she wasn't eating. She was just treating her body any kind of way, like a garbage disposal. And her parents just kept saying, you know, you need help. No, I don't need help. I don't need help. So some people just don't see the problem. And like, even if you go on Twitter, you'll see so many accounts of people who have eating disorders. Like I said, I follow a guy. Well, I don't follow him, but I see his page a lot. He has an eating disorder. And, you know, but he talks about wanting help. Sometimes I look through his tweets and he'll say, I wish somebody would help me instead of ganging up on. I wish somebody would do so. Sometimes people are crying out for help. We don't see that. But instead of trying to help them, we gang up on them and make them feel really bad about themselves. But if that person is looking at us for help, but because we don't reach out and say, can I help you, they just assume no one cares. So sometimes you have to look at all the signs and all the things that you see. Because if you don't want the help, nobody can help you. Also, you know, when I was dating in my abusive relationship with one of my exes, he was very abusive towards me. He also was a pain addict. So he would sit there and take all these Percocets. He would take them, he'd snort them, and he would just swallow them. And he would spend like hundreds and hundreds of dollars a week in Percocets. And he would use them to get high. So he'd call his friend up, give me the drug. I remember at one point he had me, God forbid, I haven't told my mom the story, nobody told me, but he had me taking the drug with him. I remember him saying, let's get high, babe. And I remember one time he went to my bank, got money out of my account. And we paid his friend's money. His friend bought all these pills to us. And I just remember how it was set up. He bought all these pills, and we got, you know, high off the pills. And, you know, I could stop anytime I wanted. He couldn't. That was the difference. I remember him having to take these pills every day. If he would miss a day from these pills, he would get so sick, stomachache, vomiting, just tore up until he got his pills. For me, it was something I did for fun. So it didn't really affect me to the point of, oh, you know what, I'm going to take these pills and I'm going to get sick because I don't have them. And it wasn't like that. But we would take all these pills and we would drink alcohol and do all kinds of stuff that we probably had no business doing. You know, back then I was young and dumb. So I'm just like, whatever, I'm just going to live in the moment. We're going to take these pills. And, you know, I don't even know to this day if he's still an addict or not. He may still be an addict, he may not be. But I just know, and it was so crazy because I remember that one of his best friends was an addict too, but his friend was taking like stronger and harder drugs, and his friend lived like two doors down from his house. And I remember like his friend went to rehab to get help because he was so tired of using. He went to get help, and his friend ended up dying. He ended up passing away and dying. Like, we saw his mom on the outside, and she let us know like he had passed away and he died from all the drugs he did. He was an addict. He was doing all these drugs. He didn't even really care that he was doing the drugs. So it was just a sad, sad situation because you have this person out here who's an addict and, you know, their life is gone. And I remember after his friend died, he told me stuff like, you know what, I probably should get help. I probably should stop and blah, blah, blah. But he never really got the help that he needed. So it was really just a sad situation. So I don't know if to this day he still uses, but when I look back, I think, God, what the hell were we thinking? Like, doing all the pills and making all that alcohol. And I was so, back then, I think, I don't know, was I really me or was I not? Because I'm really not a drinker. I drink here and there, but I'm not like a really huge drinker. So looking back on things, it's just like, why in the world did I choose to do all this drinking and do all the things that I did and then the pills? Like, what did I accomplish from that? You know, I'm just blessed to have my life. But then I look at my pain patients, and I'm just like, oh, my God, that was me. I was that girl living this secret life of taking all these pills. And I look at my patients and go, they're addicts. And then I think about, oh, my God, I can't believe, like, that was me at one point in time. Because you think back about how all the pills I took and all the things it did to my body. Like, I was literally broken down, you know, and all the things it did to his body. But, you know, you live and you learn. But, you know, it's just, like I said, for any addict, it's not, recovery is never, it's always going to be a fight. You have people that have been in recovery for 5, 10 years, and they still are fighting each day for their recovery. because if they see some alcohol, they might want to drink it. You know, you have people who've been in recovery from eating disorder for maybe 10 years, but they still struggle here and there in their mind. Like, for instance, Demi Lovato, who was so brave to tell her story about her eating disorder, and she even tells, you know, she would tell a little story, and she has a song out. She did a song called Sober, I think, or something like that, talking about how she had relapsed again, and she was singing a song and telling her parents what she had did, and I was like, oh my God. I had so much respect for Demi. I remember she came out, she was doing that show, Sunny with the Chant, and I thought she was just pretty normal, pretty girl, pretty normal and cool and pretty and hip, and I used to love that show, and then all of a sudden, they said, you know, she was in rehab for an eating disorder, and then she did that MTV documentary, everybody watched it, where she talked about eating disorder, how she still struggles sometimes, and you know, it's one of those things that's never easy. You're always going to struggle. So it's one of those things you just got to watch what you do and how you, you know, tread so you don't have any triggers. And I think that's the beauty in it, you know, is that you go through things, but how you come back and how you recover. And, you know, it's like so many things that just go through people's minds, like, they don't know what to do, you know? Like, and like I said, for instance, Wendy Williams, dealing with her, you know, she had an addiction to drugs as well. She talks about it openly on her show a lot. And how she was a drug addict and how she had to go to rehab to get help. And she even talked about more recently how she went back to rehab to a sober living facility to get even more help. So, and that was really brave of her to speak on that, to tell her story. You know, it was beautiful. So I think you just never know if someone could be in recovery and still at the same time be still struggling. And I think in those cases, all you can do is pray for that person, be there for that person, and hope for the best for them, you know. But luckily for me, I've never really had any major issues with addiction in my life personally. While I was addicted to any kind of drugs, majorly besides that experiment I did with my ex and my dating for 2 years. But other than that, I wasn't really heavy on any drugs. Never really got to the drink scene or anything like that. But I dealt with some of the people around me that, you know, did stuff. I always was around my friends who were always heavy drinkers or doing marijuana or just doing all kinds of drugs and not thinking about the consequences, you know. And then you look back and think, God, what is my friend still in the same state of mind? Are they in a good place or where are they? You know, you just never really know. And I get everybody uses for a reason. Everybody goes through things. Everybody deals with things. Sometimes they can't handle the things they deal with. And so they turn to the alcohol. They turn to drugs. It seems easier that way. But when you work with people like that, it's not, when you know you deal with people like that every day, like I do on a daily basis, it's just, sometimes it's just sad. Look at that person, it's like I pull up their information sometimes. I'm just like, oh my God, this patient's doing this, doing that. And it's like, when will they get help and when will they learn? And it was this one patient, every time we checked her urine, her urine would be bad. She always had alcohol in her urine. I always was like, why is she taking all these pain pills and drinking all this alcohol? What is going through her mind? Like, I wasn't sure what she was thinking. I was like, so she's drinking all these damn pills and drinking all this alcohol, he's taking all these medications, and I had told my coworker, because I think she's an alcoholic, because every time we do her urine test, always has alcohol in it, and it'd be like, she passed the cutoff, and I'm just like, what is wrong? They said, maybe she drank the fine. I'm like, no, nobody drinks this damn much, like, I don't know, especially with pain medications, they always say you shouldn't drink while you take this, because that's your body, but a lot of our patients do things that are just shocking. They do, like, find stuff that you would think that you would never find out. So, I think it's all just, it's all crazy. It really is. But, you know, the goal really is to help people. That's the main reason I came into the medical field, because I wanted to help others out there. And I'm always going to advocate, always going to want to help, because that's in my nature, to help others, you know. And addiction is just like that thing that, you know, you pray for people and you just hope for the best, you know. And it's never going to be easy. So for anyone out there struggling, just know I love you. I'm here for you. You can do this. You can get through this time of addiction. You can go against it. You can fight it. Just keep praying. Keep your faith. And eventually, you know, you will be free of it all, hopefully. And you will be free and you will be happy. If anyone out there dealing with someone in your family that has an addiction, just know that right now they may be still struggling. But at some point, they will hopefully see the light and they will get the help you need. So don't stress yourself out every day over it. You got to put it in God's hands and just pray for the best. If anyone out there who, you know, is in rehab, shout out to you. Keep pushing. Keep going. You can do this. Your time will probably be up soon, and then you'll be out of there. But just know that I'm here for you. I'm listening to you. I understand you. And I'm wishing the best for you. So to anyone out there dealing with addiction or dealing with someone you know with addiction, please, if you need to get help, get the help you need. There's so many hotlines, so many websites, so many rehabs that are willing to help you. Get the help you need. Love yourself and know that you are beautiful. If you have kids and you need help, please get the help for your kids. It's not for yourself. Is anyone out there struggling or know somebody who's struggling, please try to get some help and do the best you can to be a support system for them and guide them and help them through anything they need to go through. And just know it's not over. You know, it may seem like it's rough right now, but eventually it will get better. Thank you guys for listening to this. Like I said, this is near and dear to my heart because I work with patients that deal with this stuff every day. And I know people around me who deal with it. And I just want to help people the best way I can. So, guys, please enjoy this beautiful Tuesday. I'm all heading home. I'm going to relax the rest of the night. I will talk to you guys tomorrow. And see you then.